Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Barbara Hofmeister, the host of the To Be show. And welcome to the show today. And you're in for a real treat because we have a lady that I've met a few weeks ago, and her name is Cassie Kirk. And Cassie says that she's led both an ordinary and an extraordinary life. And I want to hear all about that, Cassie. And at first glance, her background as an entrepreneur and mother living in the Midwest of the United States might sound like someone you know. But during the past 25 years, she's been developing and evolving teachings and principles to help all people live life to the fullest. And that's what I'm really interested in. How can we live life to the fullest? I mean, this is what I'm teaching and this is what you're teaching too, Cassie. So if we join forces, I'm sure that we can give some really amazing advice to people so they can start living their life to the fullest right now. Right, starting from today. So welcome, Cassie.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm game. Let's do it.
Wonderful. Okay, so you are running something that is called Applied Spirituality. And
that's
you say
correct.
It was born from research, from observation, which I think is very important, from personal experiences, probably all important, meditation, and your own spiritual journey. Would you mind talking a little bit about that, explaining what you mean with that?
When I began my journey, which was with a cosmic goose, as I call them, if they're an experience that you don't enjoy having, you begin asking the questions about how does life work and how am I fitting into the scheme of things. And I think the biggest realization at that point was is that I couldn't control anything external to me, that somehow the keys were controlling what was going on within me. And when I set out to figure this out, it was simply for the pure selfish motive of creating the life I wanted on Earth. And then as it expanded in my search, it had to include everyone and everything under the sun. And I think I took my greatest inspiration from nature itself, because I kept thinking, if the creatures in the woods and, you know, the trees and the earth spinning on its axis is all handled elegantly by something, then I, as a natural creature, must also be included in that equation, in that matrix. And so as it went on, I suppose you could say it started as a spiritual quest. So, you know, I read all the books and did all the requisite praying. But as it began and deepened, it quickly crossed into and included science and literally everything under the sun. So what I now know is that we are always creating, whether we're aware of it or not. And it's the way the world is designed. It's the way our universe is designed, and we are an integral part of it, just as a bug is or just as a flower is. And we can't be lost from it. So the question then was, how do we direct it? And it just came down clearly to the focus of our awareness. What are we focused on? What are we thinking about? What are we dreaming about? Where are we spending our energy? And however we spend our energy via our focus is what we create. And if you really are sitting in a bad situation, if you could just sort of mull that over in your mind, you'll see that that's elegantly true for you as well. We're magnificent creators, but we're sort of Neanderthals at the process right now.
Yeah, and sometimes we create stuff that we don't want, or quite frequently we create things that we don't want because we focus on the things that we don't want anymore. We worry, we have doubts, we have fears, and our focus is on our problems and not on the solutions and not on the things that we do want.
Right.
So
there's nothing inherently wrong with that. So I guess I just want to say right at the outset is that I now know that nobody is broken and nobody needs fixed. So if your listeners are out there thinking that they're broken and they need fixed, that is the wrong platform to stand on. The platform is to stand on is that you just need sort of a reminder of how it is you do create so you can get on with it and get what you want rather than miscreating, as I call it. So as we've been raised, of course, we've been raised in the human way of doing things. I call that human mind, which is all about fear and lack and limitation. And it is the farthest thing from the truth of who we are. And so as you've been raised that way, then you're sort of habituated to think that way. So what it takes is for you to stop listening to what everyone else is up to and just start thinking about the things that give you joy, that are delightful to you, that give you pleasure, what is really going well for you, and stay the course and keep your mind focused on those things. And you will very quickly see things start shifting in your life just as you master the art of where you get to choose to focus yourself on. Most of us create by default. Whatever goes by, we're paying attention to. And whatever's the loudest, we pay attention to. But the inner guidance that we are truly connected with to everything is always telling us, if it feels good, you're onto it, stay the course. And if it doesn't feel good, your internal guidance has not joined you in that thought, so get off of it.
That makes sense, but isn't it true that most people have forgotten how to listen to that inner voice?
You know, Barbara, we have, but it was a part of the game. I mean, like I said, there's nothing broken and there's nothing wrong. This is the game we play. And we are, if you kind of consider Earth as a consciousness destination for infinite intelligence to incarnate and have a physical experience, we're the farthest outpost there is. And it's the greatest place to come because we get to have a body here. We get to incarnate and create in a physical reality rather than non-physical. And we all wanted to be here. I mean, this is a place where everything gets to be here. I mean, you can look around and know that's true. So, you know, if you look at like the yin and yang symbol, there's the dark and the light, but it's all enclosed in the same thing. So this is a place of that. So it's like a giant buffet down here, and you can choose to believe and create absolutely anything that you want, anything. So when you come in, you kind of know the game because you know you are the creator, and the game is to wake up. And most of us, I love the way Joseph Campbell described it in his Hero with a Thousand Faces. It's the ordinary hero's journey where you get a call to adventure. It's your wake-up call. You deny it a few times and put your head back in the sand. And then eventually it gets bigger by law of attraction. And then you pay attention, and then you do the inner work, and then you realize who you really are, and you get that prize, and then you bring it back to the world, and you're awake now in your physical life. And you don't have to die to be resurrected anymore. You can live resurrected in your own physical life right now.
That sounds very interesting. Can you explain that maybe in other words? Because I didn't quite get it, but it's sort of, oh, that sounds really good.
Okay. Well, let's say you are a humanoid living your ordinary life, banging about, and things aren't going very well. You know, you might be sick, or you might be in the midst of a divorce, or you might be broke, and these are our cosmic gooses. This is our call to adventure. This is the very thing, the very contrast that is your call to wake up and remember who you really are, a great, powerful creator. And so most of us, you know, deny the call a couple of times, 3-4 times. And you're a vibrational creature, so you're vibrating at the level of beliefs that you're holding that all the humanoids gave you about how imperfect you are and how lackful you are and blah, blah, blah. And so by the law of attraction, you just get more of that until this cosmic goose from a 2x4 becomes a 4x4, becomes a 6x6, and finally it gets your attention. And so you yell uncle, and you say, okay, I'll do it. And you answer your call. And you begin just as you did, Barbara, just as I did. You know, we go, okay, how does this work? And you are led to adventure with everybody that you meet up with is an informer to your journey. And you learn how to use the tools. You become deeper and deeper into your inner world. And you begin to hear your guidance. You begin to follow your own voice. And then you practice it and you test it out. You want to see if it's really true. And then you're ready. You've got some skills. And then you go into the ordeal. And you... the ordeal is pretty much emptying your human mind of everything it thought it knew, which is a scary ordeal. It feels like the death of your ego, which it is. And then once the ego has sort of taken its rightful place behind your inner guidance, your God self, then you have the prize, and then you realize who you are. And then you can feel your oneness with your vast self. And then you take this prize and you come back to your ordinary life and you're awake. And now you can have a good time because you know how to focus yourself. You know who you are. Responsibility isn't a burden anymore. It's the ability to respond because now you know how to respond to everything in life. And that's the journey of living on planet Earth. And we all signed up for the same hero's journey.
We did, yeah. Do you have a bad connection? I hear all kinds of noises here.
I'm hearing you just fine.
Oh, really? Because I heard some people speak in the background and some very weird noise.
Nope, I'm all by myself here and it's perfectly quiet. So.
No, I'm sure it's in the line. It was not that somebody was physically there. It was like... there was somebody else in the line.
Yeah, so
right
no,
now,
I'm not hearing anything, Barb.
I'm really excited about this because you explain it in a totally different way that I explain it in my books, and you also explain it in your books. You talk about the 4% that we are physically aware of and the 96% that we are not aware of when we start out on this journey.
Exactly.
So the 96%, would that be what I call our subconscious?
I would guess. I think the subconscious is, yes, I don't want to get tangled up in semantics. So if you want to call it subconscious, but it is that thing that is connected to the infinite wisdom, the universal intelligence, all that is. It's not finite. It is infinite and eternal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And how can people I know that, first of all, let's talk about your two books, because you might explain it in those books so that people can just go and get the books and read the books. I just had an opportunity to start reading the first one, which I enjoy very much because it's written in a way that anybody and everybody can understand and can follow. And also, again, like you already said, it makes clear that we are not broken. We don't need fixing. We don't need repairing. There's nothing wrong with us as such. We just need to wake up and become aware that that is so.
Right.
And start living our life, you know, the way that we want to live it, the way we are meant to live it. So you have two books out. Can you talk a little bit about your books? One is called The Earthling's Quick Start Guide. I like that one, the Quick Start Guide. We all want the quick fix, and we all want, you know, the quick start that helps us get things done very fast. So tell us a little bit about The Earthling's Quick Start Guide.
Well, to me, the Earthling's Quick Start Guide is the user's manual to your unit, you know, your body, mind, spirit unit. And how it works, how it's connected to the intelligence of the universe, and how you are a natural creature. So it's just the user's guide. So imagine getting your new computer, and the first thing you reach for is the quick start guide on your computer, and you're up and running. That's mm-hmm. the way it was written, and it's a very small book. It's a mini book, and it has a complete online course attached to it. And it takes you through just the basics, because in order to become a master of your life and have the life you're dreaming of, you don't have to know the cosmology. You don't have to read all the spiritual books. You might want to later on, but you don't have to. It's sort of like knowing how to tell the time. You don't have to know how the watch got made. So these are just the best practices, and if you mastered just that little book, your life would turn around 180 degrees, period, final. But it's the application of it, and what gets in the way is the beliefs of human mind. So in other words, you know, in your mind you're going to encounter little voices that say things like, it can't be this easy, you have to struggle, no pain, no gain, you have to work hard, you're not deserving, you're not worthy, and that is what you have to let go of as you practice becoming a master of your focus. It's kind of like climbing a mountain. If you're using mountain climbing gear, there's a little tool, an instrument called a piton, and you pound that into the rock so that you can raise yourself up the mountain. So if you consider a piton as a belief, as you pound a belief in and you use that to get to the next step up in your consciousness, as you move up, you have to let go of the beliefs that got you that far. You can't keep attached to them. You have to let them go and keep moving up. And the universe will drag you in. You are sort of I call it like a tractor beam of well-being. This well-being wants you. It is always calling you forth. It is that 96% of you inside of you, the small voice, the still small voice, the thing that you feel as delighted and enjoying and pleased and pleasant and peaceful and ecstatic and elated and cheerful. That is your true self. So when you're following that and you are devoted to focusing on those things and those things alone that feel good to you, and you're devoted to your well-being, your human mind will come up with all these reasons why you can't do that, because it is the antithesis of the way we have been humanized. So that's why it's a hero's journey, because you really have to have the courage and slash faith, I guess. But with very little practice, you would prove it to yourself. And it's a journey, because it's a journey of emptying the black box, I call, of your human mind, and then replacing it with these new beliefs that life can be easy, it can be simple, it can be joyful, it can be abundant, I am worthy, I am. And as you allow the life to pull you forward, the realization of who you are comes upon you. It's not something, you already have it and you already know it. You just have never been taught to value it. So every time you are ecstatic, every time you feel good in your bed at night and you love how the body feels and you're enjoying a moment of a sunset, or any time that you have these moments, you are in your oneness with yourself. That's it. There's so much conditioning on Earth about what an enlightened moment might look like or feel like, and they think it's, you know, the Archangel Gabriel comes down complete with a band of angels and announces it with horns, and it isn't. It is in the sweetness of life. It is in the taste of a beautiful piece of food. It is the abundance of the air we breathe. It's the fact that the sun came up and you get to be here. You can feel that pulsing through your body, and that is you. That is life, and that is who we all are.
So that also means that you need to be aware of it. You need to appreciate it, because
yes.
There are people that watch a beautiful sunset, for instance, when they go to Florida, they've got the most stunning sunsets, or in Thailand, and some people can appreciate it, and other people walk past as if it doesn't happen, and I'm like, huh, can't they see it? Can't they see the beauty? I live next to a small lake, and, you know, we have beautiful sunsets here, not every day like you have in some regions of the world, but quite frequently. And I get up, I go outside, I really appreciate it, I give thanks in that moment because I see it and I feel it. And I am, as you said, I'm one with it, and because I can see it. But a lot of people, they are sort of, oh yeah, that's quite nice. And they move on, you know, and they stick to their cell phones and they talk about the next day and about the problem they're having, and they just can't seem to sort of let go and just be in that moment of beauty and just be in that moment of peace.
And well, I want to remind you that it's perfect. Everybody is wired in the same, and that's how we are all created equal. We're all the same 4% body, mind, and 96% spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is in the same tractor beam. So when they are not happy with what they're getting, they will have the same opportunity to wake up and do it differently and appreciate things. And it may be in a totally different way than what brought you or I to that exploration. But there's no one who's wrong, and there's no one who's right. We are all right on time.
We're all right where we should be.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
This earth has been here for probably 9 billion years, and this is the process of evolution of each creature, every organism, every cell, every humanoid, reaching for what feels better for them in the moment. And it is speeded up right now because we are definitely in a time of a greater evolution. It's kind of a renaissance for the evolution of consciousness of mankind. We are being raised up and raising ourselves up into the consciousness of oneness. So everybody across the planet is feeling this cosmic goose to get going. So you can go hard or you can go easy, but you're going to go.
So So how can people go, how can we go easy?
You go easy by, first of all, being easy on yourself. You just stop beating yourself up. You make peace with where you are, and you start noticing what's really working well for you. You appreciate the food in your mouth, the air to breathe, the bed you sleep in, the things in your life that are going well, and you make those bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you ignore and make irrelevant everything else.
I'm totally with you on that one, Kathy. Absolutely. That's what I keep preaching. That's for in my eyes, that's the secret to happiness, really. And it can happen in an instant. It's there whenever I decide that it is there. And that definitely makes life easier. Do you want to tell people, because we're getting almost close to the end, and I want people to know where they can find you, and about your second book also, maybe, but we've only got about 2.5 minutes left, Kathy.
Okay, well, there's two places to find me. The first one is my website at appliedspirituality.com. That's appliedspirituality.com. And you can order the books there. There's the Earthlings Quick Start Guide, which is the beginner's manual, and the companion book, Well Done, which illustrates how you use your inner guidance to create your new life. And I tell you that this is a first-hand account, and you'll enjoy it. And that book has an online course that's attached to it as well. And then I just started a new version of Applied Spirituality, and this is for the people who really want to get going and put their spiritual theory into practice. And that is the OrdinaryHeroesJourney.com, and Heroes is H-E-R-O-E-S. You can also find us on Facebook at Applied Spirituality, the fan page, and Ordinary Heroes Journey fan page. On each of those, you can find a sign-up list. You'll get free online course with each one, and get started, but just get started and affirm yourself. I mean, believe in yourself. Love yourself. That is probably the first thing. Stop making yourself bad and wrong, and make yourself right for a change. And let go of what was, and just now is a new slate, like the old Etch-a-Sketch board. You can just rip up the page and start again, and just make a commitment to you, to your best life, and befriend yourself like you would your children or your best friend. Be that friend to yourself now. That's what's required.
Excellent. So I hope everybody heard that message. Be your best friend. Don't criticize yourself. Stop putting yourself down and start raising yourself. You're good. You're great. So start seeing that. Start seeing the good in you. And forget about the things that don't work, because if you focus on them, they will get worse. But as you start appreciating yourself, they will get better. Kathy, I want to thank you so very much for being on my show today. Do you have any last words you want to give to our listeners?
Just want to thank you, Barbara. It's been a pleasure to be here, and I love you, and I love your work as well.
Thank you, Kathy. Love you too, and speak to you soon so we will stay in touch. And everybody that is listening, this was Kathy Kirk from AppliedSpirituality.com, and she gave you a lot of very profound tips how you can turn your life around. Because spirituality for all of us seems to be a different place. But what we all want is happiness and fulfillment. We all want to live our fullest potential. We want to be happy. We want to be appreciated. And we want to be loved. And all of that is in you. You can create that for yourself, and with that for others, for the people around you. So please check out Kathy's website. And of course, you're always welcome to go to BarbaraHofmeister.com or to my book website, www.thetobebook.com. And connect with me on Facebook. And I see you next Tuesday with a very special guest. Next Tuesday, same time, same place. Until then, be happy.